listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 183. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the not quite caffeinated enough, John Brownstone.
No.
You need more.
Yes.
Drink more coffee.
Please and thank you.
Okay. Just get that tattooed across my chest or my
butt. Needs coffee.
Needs coffee. It should be assumed if somebody sees you, you need coffee.
That's true.
Right. Okay. This week, we're talking about how to take care of each other as a DS couple when you're apart. For a little bit or for a long time. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I will forever fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1. I hate it so bad. Or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/lovingbdsm, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. As always, a big shout out to our kinky patrons on Patreon. We love you. We love you. I'm already singing. We're like 2 seconds in and I'm like, I've lost my mind.
That's scary.
We're not going to do our normal. Please become our Patreon patron. Yeah, that's a term. Actually, wow. We are announcing a little bit of a contest. We have been hovering at between 69 and 70.
Number.
I know, right? 70 kinky patrons for a while now. And we are going to do a patron-only giveaway once we reach 100.
Nice.
Kinky patrons. I know. So, if you've been listening to us, if you've been thinking, maybe I will, I don't know. Any amount is appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, different amounts have different perks, so there's that. But true. Even at $1 a month, you get access to all the extra content we create.
Yep.
We may even do an extra special live stream once we hit 100. On top of the live stream, we do for patrons only anyway. And the giveaway will probably be something made by the one and only John Brownstone, because
I know him.
Yeah. So, patreon.com/KaylaLords. Patreon.com/KaylaLords, or use the link in the show notes. Do not try and search for us on Patreon because we cannot be found. Adult accounts are hidden in search. So patreon.com/KaylaLords, link in show notes. Join us at any level. You will help us do this work we do. You will help keep us supplied in coffee. And hopefully you get more.
That's important.
I think so too. You don't have enough caffeine and you're very low energy already for the day. So yeah, hopefully you will join us and have fun with us and do more stuff with us. And yay! Can I? Thank you. It's
go
a little
ahead.
Awkward. I'm dancing. I don't need to talk. I'll just dance at you until he tells me I can talk. Okay, so as always, we have announcements. One is a massive thank you to our sponsor once again this week, The Cage. Mm-hmm. They are also keeping us in coffee, and I am here for it. so if
cheers.
You're I am. Thank you, thank you. If you are looking for an online kink community where you can create a profile and be yourself and meet people, whether you're looking for like sexy kinky fuckery things or you're just like, I just want a community of people who get me, thecage.co is one mm-hmm. to consider. I said this last week, I said a few weeks ago, I'm going to say it again. One of the things I really like about them is that you can go browse the site before you ever create a login, so you can get a feel for it before you like give up all your information.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't feel right, if it's not the space for you, that's cool. There are other communities. FetLife is always an option. FetLife and The Cage, those are two good memberships to have, quite frankly, because they do different things and have different kind of vibes about them. But yeah, explore it before you commit. But if you like what you see, because they're a sponsor, and we love them for being a sponsor, mm-hmm. You can get 2 weeks of premium membership for free when you use the code LOVINGBDSM. Basic membership is always free, so you can do that at any point, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But premium membership gives you a little bit of extra access to stuff like chat and chatting with different membership levels and just like little things. But you can still enjoy the site and the community without it. But 2 weeks for free, full access. The code is LovingBDSM. No, you don't have to give payment information.
No.
That is also cool. I really like that. I like, somebody will be like, oh, it's 2-week free trial, but give us your credit card number. I'm like, I guess I'm not doing a free trial. I am totally that person because, I have forgotten to turn that off. So you don't have to worry about that. Go to thecage.co, use the code LovingBDSM, check them out. Take a look around. Oh, and for those of you who are looking for other BDSM podcasts, they have a list. We're on it. Of course they are, but there are others. So go forth and explore thecage.co. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did that. Second thing is an announcement. So if you are watching this live stream, you have to wait a day. If you are listening to the podcast or you're watching the video as of August 1st, you can do this now. We're holding our annual Kinky Fuckery giveaway because August is our anniversary month.
It is.
And we have been podcasting and talking about kink in this way, like this, for four years. 4 years. August 27th, 2015. That was the first episode with my little shaky voice and the sad audio and the sad laptop I recorded on.
On the little laptop in the closet.
Oh, and it was already an old laptop when I started.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And actually, the first couple episodes, I did not record in the closet because I never even considered acoustics. I sat at the kitchen table with awful acoustics and recorded because I wrote a script and I read it and I read it like 10 times and then I hit record and then I fucked it up. And I can still remember those early days. I was so nervous. So we're doing a giveaway. So to enter, as of August 1st on YouTube, the link will be in the description. Again, August 1st, or if you follow us on social media, you'll see it there. Podcast listeners, show notes, go to the show notes to get the link. The giveaway is open for the entire month of August. We are celebrating all month long. Now, let me tell you what you're going to win. Okay. Pictures will follow of one of these things because it's being finished right now as we're recording this. But one thing you're going to win is either you're going to get a choice, one or the other, not both. Don't get too excited. Either a jet penis masturbator sex toy from Hot Octopus, or my new favorite, the Digit finger vibrator from Hot Octopus. So no matter what your genitals are, if you like vibrations in intimate places, you will get your choice of one of those. You get to pick. They will send it to you.
You can get your buzz on.
You can get your buzz on. The second prize in this Kinky Fuckery prize pack, that's what I'm calling it, the Kinky Fuckery prize pack. The second prize is a $50 gift certificate to Kinky Cloth. So for anybody who's been like, I want one of these shirts. Now, not every shirt we wear when we record videos is from Kinky Cloth, but a lot of them are.
A lot of them are.
We even have a new Kinky Cloth video coming out very, very soon because we got a haul from them. They sent us stuff. It was great. So whether you are there for, you want a t-shirt, or you've been checking out their site and you want other stuff, the winner of this giveaway will get $50 to spend there. And they do ship internationally. That's what I'm saying. And then the ultimate, the thing I'm so excited about because I have seen it and haven't even seen it completely finished, is a special, not being sold anywhere, wood paddle made by John Brownstone. It is beautiful. No matter where you follow us, as soon as it's finished, because he's doing the stuff that makes it
finishing
all pretty,
touches.
Right. We're going to take pictures. We'll put it on Instagram. We'll put it on, I'll do it in the community tab in YouTube. Put it on Twitter. Maybe we'll put it on FetLife. We'll put it everywhere so you can see this fucking paddle. For the paddle alone, the giveaway is worth it if you're into that kind of kinky fuckery. If you are not, you better gift that shit to somebody because it's fucking gorgeous. Fucking gorgeous.
I showed it fucking to her this morning when she brought my coffee out to the shop. And she just like, it left her speechless.
It's beautiful. And it looks like are deceiving. It's thinner than his other wooden paddles. Mm-hmm. If you've ever purchased a wooden paddle, which our inventory is light on the Kinky Fuckery shop, by the way.
I know. Working on that.
I know. If you ever bought one of his paddles, they're usually kind of thick. They're always a little bit heavy, but most of them are kind of thick. This one is thin, and I was like, that looks so deceiving, and it's got holes punched in it so you get some airflow going, and but is that a heavy wood? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I'm terrified of it, and also, it's fucking gorgeous. So,
I tested it on my forearm. When I cut it out?
Did you scare yourself?
Yeah. I mean, it left some serious marks on my forearm.
So even if you're like, oh, well, I've bought all your paddles in the past. Nobody has this one. This is a one of a kind. And it's going into our giveaway. And how fucking cool is that? I'm so excited. so excited for this giveaway.
How excited are you?
So excited. And we tried to make it so that no matter how you spend your time online, there are ways to enter. So if you're heavy on Twitter, there are Twitter options. If you're on Instagram, there's Instagram options. If you got YouTube, fine. And if you don't do any of that, there's still stuff you can do. So if you're watching the live stream, you got to wait till August 1st for the giveaway to open. But if you're listening after, as of August 1st, the blog goes live at about midnight our time on August 1st. So if you follow us on social media, you might see it before anybody else does. But the giveaway has come. I'm so excited.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
4 years. I can't believe it's been 4 years.
I know. So for the week of August 27th, when we hit our actual 4-year anniversary, I don't know what we'll do. We'll do something. So all of that, long-ass announcements aside, and people who are new here are like, what the fuck? Are you ever going to get to the point? Eventually, yes, even I get to the point. Let's talk about our topic. So this came from different directions, and it's partly to answer somebody's question, but also to broaden that topic because it, I think, is something that people on both sides of the slash worry about. So, and I will say, not even when you're apart. So how do you take care of one another? How do you support your partner when they're not there, especially if they're going through something hard? Many of us have mental health issues, right? So I see some of my, I'm going to say submissive, but of course it happens to dominance too. I see some of my submissive friends on Twitter who are going through serious anxiety or serious depression, and they have a dominant partner who does not live with them, is not even necessarily in the same, not just town, but time zone or country. And so the question might be, well, how do you take care of your submissive when they're going through hell, when you're not even together? In the case of the question that we got from a listener, I got to commend them. So as the dominant partner, their thoughts are, they're protective of their partner, not just because of some of the life things that their partner has going on, which is their business. I'm not going to go into those details, but just because that's their inclination as a dominant, they are protective of their partner. And so they said, you know, they're not out to their family about their like life. They work a dangerous job and then they're going to be apart for a few months. It says, so much of her life is out of my control. This drives me absolutely crazy with worry and also makes me feel useless as a dom. Who am I if not her protector? What can I do about this? She's older than me and by all means can take care of herself, and kudos to you for understanding that. But I still feel like I'm not doing my job. And that's one dominance perspective, which I bet you can absolutely relate to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've gone through it.
Right.
And then when I think from my own submissive perspective, I have felt absolutely helpless. My job is to take care of my daddy. And when we were separated by, even when we've been separated by small things, like, right. I went out of town for a week, or you went somewhere and something comes up, you have a deep understanding of what you want to do or what you feel your role is, but how do you do that when you are not in close proximity, when you have to do it across a divide? And as with all things, there's no single right answer.
No.
I also absolutely recognize that many of us have these feelings even when we're in the same room with one another, because quite frankly, sometimes our partner is going through stuff, and we, as supportive as we are and as caring as we are, they have to go through it, and all we can do is kind of stand there and go, I'm here for you. So it's not just when you're apart, but there are some added difficulties when you're apart. The other reason I took this out of the realm of dominance feeling protective and made it a more general topic is because I got into a very sad but also interesting conversation with a submissive who was frantic with worry about her partner, hadn't heard from them in days. The last they had heard from them, they knew they were sick. They knew they'd been ill. They'd been at the doctor. And at first my cynical side was like, this might be a classic case of ghosting. Spoiler alert, it ended up being a classic case of ghosting, which was so sad.
Yeah.
Because it did not appear that way. Once you got details, like this submissive knew intimate details about this person enough so that they were trying to track them down. They were calling hospitals to make sure they weren't at hospitals. But in that conversation, I got a couple of ideas for those really big moments when you're worried about the health and well-being of your partner and you're apart and you feel helpless. So that's, I think the most basic thing I can say is we all go through some level of that. The degree of it's going to vary. How intimate are you with this partner? How close are you? How intertwined are your lives? Is this a, you know, ongoing, relatively healthy, relatively happy DS relationship and you're abruptly being pulled apart and now you've got to figure this out? Or is this a long distance relationship that you've nurtured and it's growing and it's real to both of you and you're figuring these things out? Are you play partners who kind of like one another and this is not really a major issue for you? It might not be, but if you're playing with somebody on the regular, I think there's some level of care for that human being, just as another human being, right? So this is something that is kind of universal, if there is such a thing in DS, depending on the depth of your feelings and the intimacy you have with the other person. So I think we can all benefit from this. I think we all will find the ways that work for us. No right way for any of it. But I think it's worth talking about. So let's start with the initial question we got, because I know you can relate. Like, I could hear your voice in my head. It's not you asking this question. Especially when we're long distance, but even when we've been apart in other ways. Like when I've traveled without you, that first trip to London for Eroticon 2017, I was a fucking basket case. Oh my God, all the anxiety. So I know from our conversations, you feel this way about me, that you're my protector, you take care of me. How have you dealt with that? How have you felt about that in the past? Like, what is your experience with knowing that you're apart and you can't be there the way you want to be?
It's tough. It's a tough thing, because it's, especially with us, we have grown accustomed to being with each other.
Especially now. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you know, we've spent a number of years together pretty much 24/7, you know. So it was a bit of a different thing at that point. I'd have to say probably one of the best ways I dealt with it at the time, especially when you went to London, was I gave you specific things that I wanted you to do. All right. Trying to keep that even though it was different, keeping a semblance of structure, which is very important. Now, I knew we were going to have at that time a... what, 5 or 6 hour time difference?
Yeah. That was hard.
That was a little different to negotiate, because by the time you were getting home from everything, that we were getting back to the hotel from everything, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right, which was a great time for you, but an awful time for me in that case.
Yeah.
Because of the time difference.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's funny, even when we were just long distance and only had an hour between us, sometimes even that small window
was
difficult, because when you were available, I might be dealing with kids, or when I was ready to talk and I was like awake, you were already at work, or our lunch hour. I mean, we made it work.
Yes, we did.
We organized our relationship in a way that we... as much as we had control over, we were like, okay, you'll take lunch later, I'll take lunch earlier, I'll wake up earlier, one of us will go to bed later. So we were able to have those points of connection.
Right, we found ways to make it work. One of the best times for us we found was in the morning when I was on my way to work.
5 o'clock in the morning, my time. That is love. I just want you to
know
that's love.
Yeah, I know.
That's love. I'm not a morning person. But, you know, we even, when I did travel to London the first time by myself, when I traveled to Oregon last year without you, we fell back into those habits. And from a standpoint of, if I think back to times when I had a lot of stress in my life that you couldn't help me with because you weren't there with me, and things I had to like navigate on my own, knowing there would be those times in the day that I knew we were going to talk, would sometimes get me through, because I would say, okay, do not panic right now. You have to just breathe through this moment. You know, the thing, something's happened with a child, something's happened with your boss, the car has broken down, like whatever it might have been. And just breathe through it. And the person who, so for me, and I know we don't all have the same experience with this, but for me, John Brownstone is my partner. Not just as my dominant, but just as my partner in general. He's very grounding for me. I can, better than I used to be, but I can freak the fuck out. Like, I can catastrophize with the best of them. I got that anxious mind, and it'll spiral into every way things can go wrong. And over time, and it did take a while, took a long while, I learned that if I could just breathe until I could hear his voice, because even if it was something worth panicking over, he was going to stay calm. Like, I still it was not until we moved in together that I learned what you're like when you're panicky. And it's because it doesn't hit his voice first. It hits his face first. And I really think that you learned some, like, magic voodoo when we were LDR of hiding that from me, of going, what the fuck? Like, in your head. But I didn't hear it in your voice. So I stayed really, really calm. Regardless of the side of the slash you're on, if you have that ability to project an air of calm for your partner going through the tough thing, whatever that might be, that is invaluable. Because truly, I can even now immediately become more calm, even when a situation is insane. Like a stepfather telling you that you're evil scum of the earth because you put your naked body on the internet, like we went through a few months ago. I can stay calm if I have his calm voice in my ear. If he is just talking to me like, okay, yes. I mean, and it was never that you minimized something. If something big happened, he didn't try to lie to me and make me think it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. Sometimes I thought things were worse than they really are. And so I did need a little bit of that. Okay, let's come back down to earth. But even in the worst moments, we both knew it was bad, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But you just being a calm voice on the phone sometimes enough.
That for me falls into being your protector. All right. If you're away, you're in London, you were in Oregon, wherever you may be, it does not do much for you to hear me freaking out.
It's going
to
make me panic.
It's going to make you worse.
Legit panic.
Knowing your anxiety, that would be just the thing to get it spiraling.
Oh, yeah, because I assume that I am overthinking things. Like, I know who I am. Okay, so I assume I'm overthinking things. So if you were to panic, that would tell my brain, oh, no, this is worse than I thought it was.
Right.
Time to go into total freak-out mode and shut down and not be able to function. Here we go.
So, yeah, for me, that's a way of providing my protector. Over you, all right, and looking out for you, thinking, okay, this is not the worst thing in the world. If I overreact, she's going to overreact, and it will be even worse. I need to...
And that's when bad decisions get made, and you do things in haste when maybe what you should have done was, like, think through it for a second. The other thing is even when it is pretty bad and you stay calm, we're going off of memory here because it's been a while since we were long distance. What I remember though is that you would start saying, okay, let's talk through it. Let's talk through the options. Let's talk through what the worst case scenario could be, what the best case scenario could be, or you would say, okay, tell me what happened. Like, take me through the details. And that was, in those moments, that was very grounding for me, because then I had to slow down.
Right.
Think through things, formulate words, calm down enough to where I can make myself understood. And in the retelling of whatever it might be, or in the sharing of the information, a solution might be found, or just I could look at it from a different perspective. Because then you would share what you're hearing and how you're processing it. And I go, okay, let me look at it from this other angle. And then sometimes you just go through bad times. No perspective shift. Right. It is you just going through a legit.
But what that does
time.
For you specifically is, you who have a tendency to go into your head.
Yes.
By having you talk through things, it gets that out of your head.
Right.
And once it's vocalized, or once you've written down in a journal or something to that effect, it's out of your head, and it's not the big looming specter.
The reality is that some things cannot be fixed. Sometimes shitty things happen, and all you can do is endure and get through them and figure out what you're going to do from moment to moment based on what's happening right in that second. So it can be something as less awful as a disagreement with a boss or, you know, getting in trouble for something, and something as awful as a break-in, as getting fired out of nowhere. Like, there are things that are going to happen that there's nobody can fix it for you. Like, nobody can swoop in and fix it for you. So that would be the thing I would caution dominants who feel that pull to be a protector. You have ways of being a protector that will not mean that you can fix anything, because some things aren't just fixable. There is no, like, let me come in here and tell you what you need to do and your life is better now. It's, you got to go through it, and you can be, and you are very good at this, you can be the support for that person. Mm-hmm. You can be the safe place for them. Like, at the end of a really bad day, the best thing I ever wanted, the only thing I wanted when we were long distance, was to hear his voice. Because for me, no matter how bad the day was, if I heard his voice and he was all calm and it was all like, we got all sexy or whatever, or he just let me cry on the phone, I felt better because I wasn't alone. And if you want to make sure on either side of the slash that you are taking care of your partner from a distance, make sure they don't feel alone. And there are different ways that you can do that. Sometimes it is knowing them well enough to know what they need. So knowing that I need to talk it through and say it out loud and not let it spiral in my brain, but put the words out there where I have to look at the words and the thoughts. And then that's when I usually catch myself going, oh Lord, am I really thinking that? You know, some whacked out thought. The other thing is to listen. Half of communication is listening. And as a DS couple, that's a skill you have to learn over time, or you're not going to make it. So this is your chance to practice listening and letting your partner say what they need to say. Now, there are times, this has nothing to do with being dumb or sub, this is individual. I'm like this. You have to watch me, because not only will I repeat myself, you and I are both repeaters.
Yes.
But I will get myself worked up into a bigger frenzy because I've talked about something for too long, or I'll start overthinking it because I've talked about something for too long. You are really good at, like, letting me say what I need to say, making sure I get it out, and then getting me to stop. Either we look at solutions, potential solutions, and we get away from the problem, so that I can stop spiraling with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes it's like, okay, we have to find something else to talk about. We got to change the subject. We got to lighten things up, or we got to, you know, what do you need as, you know, I don't think you ever said these words, but the impression I always got is basically, what do you need as a submissive right now? Do you need, you know, your daddy to take care of the little baby girl in you, which that is a me thing, not everybody's going to have that. Or do you need some hard dominance? Do I need to, like, you know, and that was, and those are tricks and skills you learn when you're apart anyway. Long distance relationships, the longer you're in one, the more you figure out what you can do. When you're newly apart, you're going to fumble through some of that until you kind of find the methods. Like, I know a lot of what you would do to pull me out of it, if there was nothing that could be done and all I was doing was spiraling and I was open to it, we would do some kinky fuckery over the phone.
Right.
You know, there'd be some guided masturbation. There'd be some orgasm control. Usually, if you were trying to get me to, like, de-stress, it would be forced orgasm control. Right. It would not be denial or edging.
No.
It would be a little bit of edging, but there'd always be...
But then there'd always be a reward at the end.
Right.
Yes.
Because you knew, you figured out very early on that if I get a couple of orgasms in my life, I'm going to calm the fuck down.
Yep.
It's not going to fix my problem. It's not going to make anything better.
But it's just going to bring you to,
relax.
Ground. Yeah.
And that will not work universally, and that would not work with every problem I ever have.
No.
You know?
But
there are times when there's something going on that has just got me stressed, and what we need to do is get my mind out of it. And that
more times than not, it helped.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. The communication aspect of this is, as with everything in DS, but definitely as with everything in long distance, temporarily or long term, it's all about the communication. It's when you communicate, how often you communicate, and how you communicate. So if your partner, dom or sub, does not matter, is going through absolute hell and you are over here thinking, how can I possibly take care of them? Your first thing is to listen to them. That is universal. Let them talk. Now, it's going to depend on their personality, the problem, your personality, all these variables. There are no rules here. If offering solutions is an option, either because you have experience in the problem that they're going through, or because that's the nature of your relationship, that's just how y'all interact with one another, then great, do it. But I have found, as a human, I know you can relate to this, that there's nothing that makes you feel more helpless than hearing your partner go through hell and having, and there's nothing you can do. It's a tough feeling. It's hard. It is. There, it really is. There's not much cure for it.
And that is a realism. Mm-hmm. All right. When you get hit with your anxiety pops up, when you have, you know, after your one of your highs and you go into your depressive low, there is not anything I can do to fix that. Mm-mm. All right. I can support you. I can tell you I love you. You're always beautiful.
You're making me blush.
All right.
That shit works on me is all I'm saying.
But I cannot fix those things, but it lets you know that I am here for you.
And it's funny because even when I'm in a space where I can't hear those words, like I hear them, I recognize them as English, but my brain wants to deny them or can't, they just don't soak in. The feeling behind them still does. So even at my worst mental health lows, because that for us has probably been the biggest thing. By the time he and I met, I was kind of on an even keel with life. Like I'd figured out how to be a single mom at that point, and I was making money, I was doing good. So most of our experiences with the tough stuff is health related. But even when I couldn't accept the words, you always made me feel safe. I always knew you were a safe place for me to land. So even when my brain is lying to me and trying to convince me that these nice things you're saying aren't possibly true or that I'm still the worst human being ever and all these just ugly, ugly things that can filter in there, I still knew who I was safe with. I still knew I could trust you. I still knew. And I might not have known as much in the beginning as I do now. It might not have been ingrained as deeply as it is now. But I knew that no matter what, I could go up to you and either verbally, because when we were long distance, I have to do it over the phone, or now physically, and just sort of be with you. Like, we, as a relationship, I think it's maybe because we're both introverts or maybe just because we're both comfortable with one another. I'm not sure. I don't have like a thing. We are very good at being quiet together.
Yeah.
We are capable. We were capable of this with long distance. We are capable of it now. We can sit in a room for hours, say not a fucking word. I know y'all are shocked that I can go hours and not say a word. It's true.
You can.
It happens. It happens a lot, quite frankly. And we'll both tell you, we just had the best time. We weren't talking about anything. We weren't even interacting with one another.
We have evenings we spend side by side just reading a book.
Oh, God, it's delicious. It's wonderful. So that is when I say verbally we could do that. Even when we were long distance, we could be on the phone. I could be at a point where things were so stressful for me or so whacked out for me that I could not even really speak. Like, I was done. I couldn't even talk. And we could just breathe together on the phone, and I felt safe. And I knew I was cared for and loved and that I had not sent him screaming into the night yet. Hasn't happened yet now, so I guess it's probably not gonna.
I mean, the thing with this that I've kind of been mulling over in my mind, doesn't really say, you know, while he does say the time that they're going to be apart, you know, are they going to be in a different time zone?
Oh, yes. They're going to be in different time zones. Okay. They're going to be in different continents. It's not going to last forever, but it's long enough.
But it's long enough.
Yes.
So,
right. And that's when all of the long distance sort of hacks and tricks and advice we have. We've done three episodes on LDR. I will link to them when we do the show notes later. But that's when you have to set up your system for your communication. How you're going to communicate, what all available tools are you going to use? Are you going to use WhatsApp? Are you going to use Kik? Are you going to use just your phone? Are you going to FaceTime? Are you going to Skype? What are you going to use? Are you connected in ways on social media? Y'all, I'm not going to lie to you. We can be in the same room, John Brownstone and I, and be talking together on Twitter. That is a real thing that happens.
Yes, it is.
Even to this day, we use every method available to us that we feel comfortable with. So before you have to be separated, if you are in a position where you know that that is coming up, like you're about to be apart, figure out all the ways you communicate and talk about them and say, okay, is email going to work for you? Like, if you know that your partner only checks their email once every, like, 3 days, first of all, I want to know what life you're living because I cannot imagine it.
Yeah,
but
oh my God.
Email might not be the best thing for you. If you know they can't text you for whatever reason at certain times, then, okay, you know that you can't do it at certain times, but when can you expect a reply? When will they be available? What times will you try to talk? And all of that has to be kind of... free flowing at first. You have to be kind of there's a word, words are hard. You have to be flexible until you figure out your schedule and how things are going to line up for you. But if you know you're about to be apart, then you start talking about that and you put a plan in place now about when and how you'll communicate.
Now there's a couple things that come to mind right off the top of my head. Either Evernote or Trello.
Sure.
Okay. Those are two both wonderful scheduling apps. And
note-sharing apps.
Note-sharing apps. At the time, we used Evernote.
And no, we used Trello. Did we use Evernote?
That came later. Evernote was first.
Oh, gosh. I don't remember.
Evernote, I would set her up tasks. We had a shared account. Mm-hmm. Or actually, I created an account, and then I shared it with her.
Yeah.
And I would set up tasks for her. And when she completed a task, she would go in.
You remember so much more of this stuff than I do.
That's my job.
Thank God.
My job, girl.
You're also the sentimental one between us.
Well, there's that too. But, when she went in and completed the task, I would get a notification.
I'd forgotten all about this.
Yeah. that's a good way, especially being in different time zones.
Right.
Something like that, whether, you know, I think at this point, Trello is probably a better
And there are probably even better options that we don't even know
about at this point.
The other thing, if you're the one going through a tough time on your part, especially if there's a time difference, right? Time zone difference. I'm biased about writing. My go-to for expression is writing. Not everybody has that. I get it. I totally get it. But if you find it easier to type things or to write things than to say them out loud, they don't have. We're not talking looking for grammar or spelling or any of that crap. Your punctuation does not matter. I used to a lot, unless I do remember, especially if I was up later than you.
Right.
And I had stuff on my mind, but you had to go to sleep. Like, there were many nights you gave me as much time as you could, but then you were like, baby girl, I got to get up in a few hours. I have to sleep, right?
If I'd wake up to a huge email.
Yeah,
in the morning.
You knew where I was going with this.
Yes.
I would lay it all out. Here are all the things in my head. Here's all the things I'm thinking. And it only worked because he consented to that. He was okay receiving that kind of brain dump. Mm-hmm. And so you have to talk about that. Like, is this going to overwhelm you if I do this? This would help me. You would know what I'm thinking. And what made it a good tool for us is I could, because this is how I operate, I could get it all out of my head. And once it was out of my head and onto the screen and in the email, I felt a little bit lighter and could usually sleep because I had said everything that was in my head and I'd gotten it out and it couldn't just swirl in my brain. And this is in times of financial stress, mental health, illness, family stress, kid stress, like just things that were going on and I was feeling overwhelmed. And so then he would wake up to said email and in his time that worked for him,
I would acknowledge to her the fact that I received the email.
Right. So I didn't get a response of, here's all I think about it. He would at least let me know, I got it. I will read it.
Right.
Okay. So I had that reassurance that it was seen and it was not being ignored. That is important, y'all. If your partner word vomits all over you and bares their fucking soul, at least acknowledge you got it.
Yeah.
So they're not sitting over there wondering what you're thinking and what's going on. Like, just help some people out here. Okay. Just acknowledge you got it. But then once he acknowledged he got it and I got that acknowledgement, then he could take his time responding. Mm-hmm. Now, you never really made me wait that long.
No.
Because you do well with processing information that way. I have found if I write it down for him and go, here, read, it's called KaylaLords.com, the blog, yeah. Quite frankly, I get a better response to him than if I try to talk, because I'll talk fast, I'll go off on tangents, I'll circle back around to things, I'll connect dots that he's like, mm-hmm. How are those two dots related?
I learned that early on with you when we used to talk on the phone. And you had an idea for me. I forget what the idea was for. Had something to do with the computers at the time.
And, oh, yeah, right.
And you just started rolling. And I could not keep up with you.
you people can.
My eyes glazed over. And I was like, okay. I know at the very beginning, this sounded like some really great ideas, but I need to be able to digest this. You need to put this in an outline.
Right. Now, here's the cool thing. That actually plays into another thing, either side of the slash. You want to take care of your partner. They're going through either a tough time or a stressful time. I know I'm not the only one out there like this. Some of us, we're fixers. And when somebody says they got a problem, we got 25 solutions. One, to my fellow fixers, we got to stop that shit. Not everybody wants our fucking advice, okay? So first of all, when you are tempted to tell your partner, well, just do these 10 things and you'll fix your problems, ask if they would like your advice. Say something like...
You mentioned something the other day that I absolutely loved.
Was it when I was talking to the kids, the advice I'd seen?
Yes.
Yeah, it was parenting advice that I think is perfect for dealing with other human being
and,
advice.
In general.
Okay?
Yeah.
When somebody comes to you and starts talking to you about something, and they've got a problem.
Or they say, I need to talk to you.
Right. Ask them, before they begin, do you want advice? Do you want my perspective? Do you just want somebody to listen? And I'm paraphrasing.
That's what it was. I remember the advice. I remember the just listening. And the other was the perspective.
Do you want my perspective?
But that is
which is
brilliant.
Different than advice. Advice, yes. Is let me tell you what to do. Perspective is let me tell you how I see this. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, I'm a fixer. I naturally want to give advice. That is why we have this podcast and I have sites. And this is what I do because this makes me happy. Okay? But when you're dealing one-on-one with people, that can be overbearing. It can be overwhelming. When somebody is already stressed out, and especially if that is not what they came to you for, like sometimes a submissive wants their dominant to tell them what to do. That, for some of us, that is a trait we have. I sometimes want John Brownstone to just tell me what to do, man. Just tell me what to do, yeah. And I will do that. But I don't always want that, okay? So I've had to learn, okay, I'm asking you to tell me what to do. Or, hey, can I just bitch for a second? Like, that's part
can
of
I just
our...
word vomit all over you?
Right. So, the other side of that, if you are the type of person, submissive or dumb, it doesn't matter. Fixers come in all ranges and all sizes and all personality types, all flavors. Before you try to fix your partner's problem, ask them if that's what they want from you.
Right.
And then, if you're like me, and you have about a million ideas and you talk kind of fast, offer to write it down for them. Okay? If you start talking and their eyes glaze over, or you're on the phone because we're talking about being apart, and you get, they start going, take a beat, take a breath, ask, would this be better if I wrote this down for you? I have ideas. Would that just be easier for you? Like, find out from the person who you're actually trying to help what they need or how they could best take in the information you're sharing. That is a people thing. That is a everybody we deal with in life thing. If you can get it right in your relationship, it becomes much easier to do it with the rest of the world. We are still working on it because I'm a strong fixer. He'll start talking and I'm like, oh, I've got ideas. And then his eyes glaze over and I go, fuck, I did it again, didn't I? And as a parent, I'm trying to remind myself to ask the kid, what is it? You're trying to tell me something. Which one is it? Because I did not know that the lecture side of me was strong as a mom. Like, I can lecture for days. I got thoughts on stuff.
The lecture is strong with this one.
Oh, my God. So, if you can figure out how to do this in a loving, safe relationship like your hopefully your DS relationship, it does translate well to other parts of your life. But especially when we're apart from one another and we see our, even when we're not, when we see our partner going through something rough, and especially if we have ideas on what could maybe make it better or help them get through it, the wanting to fix it so that we make it better for them, I think is a valid thing. I think it comes from a really good place. But if all it does is stress out your partner and break down the lines of communication between you, then you have helped nobody. Okay? You haven't helped your relationship. You haven't helped your partner. So, you know, we talk a lot about getting consent for physical things, which is always going to be important.
Right.
I think we have to learn how to get consent for everything else too. Like, do you want my advice?
Mm-hmm.
Not right now. Maybe later. Yes, please. Okay? If you know, like he does, that you are in a relationship with a fixer, you might want to try and consider, if it works for you, starting the conversation with, please don't tell me how to fix this. I'm just here to bitch. Okay? I just need to vent. I just need to say this.
Just need an ear to chew on.
Please don't try and help me right now. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And as a fixer, your feelings might be hurt the first time somebody says that to you, but you just got to, like, suck that shit up, take it in, and give them what they need, because there's a good chance they want your advice. They just don't want it right then. And advice is no good if the person you're giving it to can't hear it, can't take it in, can't digest it, and can't act on it.
They may not be in the right place for it at that time.
So our urge to fix things, to take care of our partner, I think is a value one. I think it's a wonderful thing to want to take care of our partner. And I think it is important for both sides of the slash to remember that it's not a dominant thing or a submissive thing, okay? Because dominants who identify that way in wanting to take care of their partner feel just as strongly as the submissives who identify with wanting to take care of their partner. We come at it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
We have different methods. We, depending on your power exchange and your dynamic, we certainly have different approaches to it. But that desire is a universal thing. It's not going to happen in every relationship. Sometimes people aren't in the right headspace themselves to try and take care of somebody else. Sometimes you're both going through hell at the same time, y'all. When you're both going through hell at the same time, all I can have ever found that worked for us is just hang on tight, okay?
Yeah.
Just be together in whatever way you can. If you are physically apart, do your best to make the time for those phone calls, those Skype sessions, FaceTime, whatever your thing is. If you're physically in the same space, sometimes you just sit together. We have taken turns bitching. Like, he's going through hell, and he's like, let me talk about this. Mm-hmm. And I go, And then at a certain point, now it's my turn, I just complain.
Yep.
And there's no fixing it. There's no path forward yet. There is always a path forward eventually. Whether we want to take it or not, that's a different thing. But sometimes you got to go through the hell for those first like 10 minutes or 2 days or whatever it is, and just sit there and be kind of shell-shocked together. Yeah. And your eyes are wide and you're like, what the fuck? And you can't sleep. And we have a kind of a gallows humor, very black humor kind of thing, where we are morbid. Okay, we can joke about our shit. Like, I mean, I've stood at a funeral and cracked a joke. So when I say I got gallows humor, I mean, yes, I was on my dad's deathbed and we cracked a joke. He would have loved that. He would have loved that. We are not everybody's like that. Not everybody's like that. But if you are like that and your partner is not completely turned off by it, sometimes that's what gets you through. The snarky comment, the sarcasm, the, you know, how many times has one of us gone, well, it can't get any worse than this, and the other one goes, shut up. You tempt fate. And next thing you know, we're giggling about it. It didn't fix anything, but it broke a little bit of tension. It reminded us that there's more to who we are in this moment than the outside stress pressing down on us. And quite frankly, sometimes when my options are to laugh or cry, I'm going to go for laugh, because it's God knows, you know, in this life, in this world, look around a little bit outside your immediate bubble. There's plenty to cry about. If we could laugh about it for a minute, it might be easier to gain some perspective on things. And especially when things are truly, truly hard. The death of a loved one, God, that kind of grief, that is, for many of us, that's traumatic. And I don't care if you had a lot of notice or you had no notice. I've gone through different kinds of death, both of those kinds of deaths, and they are all devastating. And you got to cry and be sad and grieve. And then if you're this type, and I am, break that tension a little bit, you know, because mm-hmm. no matter how big and awful, and there are some big, awful things that happen to us in this life, the rest of the world's still going on, and you're going to have a point where you're going to catch up to the rest of the world. You're going to get through this thing. Mm-hmm. This thing might be a day. It might be a month. It might be a year. Who knows? It might be a lifetime mm-hmm. of this thing, but you still have to figure out how you're going to navigate the world with this new reality that you're dealing yeah. with, as painful as it may be, as hard as it may be. And getting me to laugh about my problem does not make that problem go away. But it makes it a little bit, it gives me a little bit of a different perspective. Yeah. Even if it's just for a few seconds. It reminds me that I can laugh. It mm-hmm. reminds me that I can find things funny again. Maybe not for very long. Maybe not the kind of humor you would share with, like, you know, your children or your mom. But you can find that, you know, I'm here for the twisted humor, quite frankly. Even when things aren't bad, I'm like, oh, let's crack an inappropriate joke. This will be fine.
Yeah,
which is probably why I can be getting, like, intimate things done, like being at the gynecologist and crack a joke about them being down there, because
that's what you do.
Jokes during awkwardness yeah. are like my jam.
But, you know, being away from your submissive does not make you any less the protector. You're still that person's protector. You just have to be willing to shift, okay? And sometimes it takes stepping outside of the box in order to do it, because your day-to-day stuff, especially if you're together, you know, you have that routine of protocol and ritual, and being apart, you can still have that, but it's going to be in a different way.
And I think that's the biggest thing. There's something about having to be apart from one another, I think, that forces you to become a little bit more flexible, whether you are apart for a little bit of time or, like, that's your whole relationship, because the standard things that you might think of as this is what we do in relationships don't always apply. And if you want to navigate this time apart and still have a close connection, you have to adjust to that. And what adjusting means to that is going to be unique to your situation mm-hmm. and your personality and the tools you have and the access you have and, like, all of these different things. But I think we have to, and this is difficult for many people, you have to get away from that perspective, that belief that taking care of a partner, protecting a partner, mm-hmm. is solely a physical thing, right? Like, there is a lot of physicality in protecting somebody.
Yeah.
If you place your body in front of them to mm-hmm. shield them from something, as a submissive, taking care of him is making sure he has everything he physically needs. Yeah. Is your coffee ready? Is your this ready? Is your that ready? That's me taking care of him. It's picking up the slack during a time of high stress for him and doing things he would normally do, but yeah. I know that by me doing them, it helps him out.
Yeah.
But when you're apart, that is not, most of the time it's not going to work. Every once in a while, you can find some ways around
it, I think one of the biggest parts or the biggest aspect of being apart as being a protector is being emotionally available.
Yes. And I think taking care of anybody, sub, dom, emotional availability is the majority of it.
Yeah.
It's very little bit about physicality.
Right.
It's very little bit about what you're physically doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, yeah.
You're welcome.
Look at you. So, did we offer any real solutions? Probably not. I do want to give some concrete solutions, and this is very specific situations, but these were really good ideas. So, in the conversation I had with a submissive, I feel really bad for that submissive, because my instinct said, uh-oh, I think you've been ghosted. And then I got more details and went, oh, wow, no, maybe this is one of those, like, really serious situations. And then
yeah.
it was a ghosting. It broke my heart. So in this situation, they had not heard from their dominant partner for several days. The last time they had heard from them, they were sick. So their mind went worst case scenario. a few things. If you have to be apart, and this is about the physical well-being of your partner. First of all, if you are in a long-distance relationship, and it's one of those things, I think this is fairly common, nobody else really knows you're kinky. Maybe a few people do, but not many. People in your real life might not even know you're in a relationship because it's kind of awkward to go, oh, I met them online, they live on another continent. Oh, and we're kinky, mm-hmm. right? First of all, you don't ever have to tell anybody all of that information to say, right. hey, I'm in a relationship. But that's just my opinion. The first thing you want to do, if you are worried about physical well-being, is have somebody who is not your partner in the location or near the location that you are that you can call. If you don't hear, mm-hmm. if they're traveling overseas, they're traveling out of state, they're traveling up the freaking road, and you aren't hearing from them, they're not answering their cell phone, they're not returning emails, whatever, have somebody that you can call. For a business trip or a quick trip, it might be the number of the hotel that they're staying at, right? Yeah. If you just live in two separate places, each of you needs to figure out who in your life, and please God, I hope you have somebody like this, that you trust enough to go, hey, look, I'm seeing somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm keeping the relationship kind of to myself for right now. It's long distance. We have a thing in place where if they don't hear from me for a certain amount of time or after a certain point, they need to be able to check up on me in case I get sick, in case I get into an accident, right. in case something happens to me. Would you be that person? If they call you, this will be their name, tell them what's going on with me. If you know I'm in the hospital, fine. Yeah. If you don't know where I am, please come check on me because something's going on. Set that up wherever you are. Like I said, if you're traveling, make sure your partner knows the location of where you're staying. Make sure they know the name of the organization that you're there for work, or your hotel, or the yeah. conference center. Some third party who would have access to, did that person get sent to the hospital? Okay. Because especially when you're in a long distance relationship, the not knowing is the absolute worst part. So in this person's case, they didn't have that. They had not heard of that. I was like, oh, do you have this? Okay. In the future, you know, because I was going on the premise of, ooh, something's wrong, but you'll get this figured out. And I was like, set this up for yourself so you have it, right? So do that if you don't have it. Please, please, please. You will save yourself a lot of grief if something happens and you mm-hmm. don't know. Like if he had ever gotten into a motorcycle accident. And because what we did was we also said, hey, if something happens to me, call this person.
Right.
Was your sister? It was your sister, right?
No, my cousin.
It was your cousin. Yeah. Right. So cousin knew I existed, didn't know we were kinky, didn't know correct. What our relationship was about, and was a person that was not going to ask too many questions anyway. If I couldn't find him, that's who I called. If something mm-hmm. happened to him, got sick.
I gave her.
She would call. Have
Kayla's
called me.
Contact information, right. So she would get in touch with her.
So if you have that ability where they can call you, set that up. If they're traveling and there's nobody with them that you also know, make sure you have the contact information for wherever they're going to be. Mm-hmm. So if something happens, you don't hear from them.
Right.
You can call. Okay. So that's the first thing. And that person had not heard of that. I know some people have. We've talked about it in the past. So you've mm-hmm. probably heard that before. But if not, I highly encourage it. Okay. That way, if you're worried about their physical well-being, you have a way to check.
Yes.
The other thing that this person did, I felt bad. The first thing she did was literally called all the hospitals in the area to see, is this person checked in? Red flag for online relationships, online long distance relationships, because you can have online flings and things. But if you don't know their real name, you're never going to be able to find out real things yeah. about them. So I do not think you should give your real name to the first kinky person who approaches you. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you've gotten to the point in your relationship where you mm-hmm. both are stating at least to one another that it's a relationship and you're communicating, you got tasks, you got protocols, you got this, and you got, and you're like laying out this DS thing, please know their name.
Yeah.
That's a red flag if somebody will not tell you their name while they're setting up an entire power exchange, long-term mm-hmm. DS relationship, and selling you the bill of goods that y'all are going to be together
very
forever.
Early on, before we actually became a couple or had a power exchange relationship, I told her where I worked. She knew my address.
And I giggled him. I giggled you. I giggled him. I also giggled. and I Googled his ass, okay? That is not information we gave on day one. No. I'm not telling you to do that. But no. Once you decide you are establishing something with this person, you should know their real name. I'm just saying. So, first of all, if you're in a relationship and you've been in a relationship for months and you don't know the real name, that's a red flag. Start asking questions. But this person, because they knew they'd been sick and they weren't a relative, so no doctor was going to give them information, no hospital was really going to give them information other than, but they were still calling. And medical professionals will know if they would have been given the information. I don't know. But they were calling to say, is this person a patient at your hospital? I'm worried about them. They probably weren't given any information because they weren't related, but you never know. But the thing they did, this is a last ditch measure, but if you are worried about the physical, mental, emotional well-being of your partner and they are somewhere else, especially if they live somewhere else, this was brilliant that they did. They called the police because they knew their address, they knew where they lived, they knew their name, they knew all the right information, so that's why I was surprised it ended up being a ghosting situation.
Yeah.
They called the police and asked for a wellness check. Said, this person's been sick, and now I can't get them. I'm afraid. They live alone. I don't know if they're home, sick, alone. Can you go check? That is an extreme. That is not something you use all the time, okay? That should not be your first thing to do. Unless you know that there are some serious things going on. People have mental illnesses, people have physical illnesses. Some people, even though they need more support in their life, they live alone. So sometimes that might be the thing you think to do. Is not going to be everybody's first step. But if you are ever truly afraid for their physical well-being and you can't protect them, you're not there. When she told me she did that, I was like, that's brilliant. I would never have thought of that. Never. Do not abuse that. Do not use it for every little whim. That's a last ditch effort. You've exhausted every other option you've got. But that is, especially if you have real good reason to be concerned for somebody's physical well-being and you're not together. So I thought I would pass that along. But use that judiciously. Like, be careful with that one. But ultimately, we can't always fix our partner's problems even when they're in the same space with us. We can't always protect them the way we want to, even when they're sitting right next to us. So the tools and the skills that you can learn are going to apply no matter what.
Yeah.
Listen, ask what they actually need from you. Give them the space to share what's going on in their head. Give them the room they need to figure out what they're thinking. Some of us are writers, and thousands of words have come from these fingertips in an effort to go, here's what's going on with me. Some people need time. It's one thing if a partner will never speak to you and never share these things with you. That is frustrating, and it's hard for the relationship to grow, and it could indicate some other issues. But it's another thing if they struggle with it and they need time. You're like this. I y'all are shocked by this. Have a thought. There we go. We've said it out loud. Let me tell you 20 things I think about a thing I thought 30 seconds ago. That's me. You are a much more deliberate thinker than that. You're a deep thinker.
Yeah.
But you need time.
True.
That is difficult for me. But.
Because in a lot of cases, what I'm doing is I'm running scenarios.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm running scenarios, but I'm just saying them all out loud where everybody else can hear them too.
No. I think them through and then I...
So to take care of your partner, if your partner is like that, you have to learn how to give them the time and space to be ready to talk about it. Never talking about it is not the best thing. Taking a day or an hour or just a little bit of extra time so they can formulate their own thoughts and they feel comfortable and they're ready and they feel like they can say this out loud. It's a way to strengthen your relationship, to build some communication skills, and also to respect consent and respect their needs and what works for them and who they are. Just because you're the type of person, hi, I'm this way too, who's like, I got a problem, let's talk about it right now for the next 6 hours. That is true, I can do that. Does not mean everybody else can, and it doesn't mean that's what your partner needs, okay? So to take care of each other, together or apart, is about understanding your partner understanding what they need, giving them space, mental or physical if necessary, giving them time, and learning how to freaking listen. It is not always jumping in with 10 solutions. Correct. Unless that's what they want.
Unless that's what they want.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I kind of went a little ranty. Did I kind of go a little ranty?
Yeah.
I went a little ranty.
Yeah, you did.
I know. But there we go. So that is what I have to say about that. Yeah. And I think the best thing that came out of this was your thing about being emotionally available, because a lot of people are not emotionally available.
No.
And that's not a Dom or sub thing. That's a person thing.
Mm-hmm.
Usually because of things about them that have nothing to do with you. They're either not wired that way, or they were not raised that way, or they don't have those skills yet, or they don't think it's important. That wouldn't work for me, but okay. but yeah, being emotionally available for your partner will help you find the right way to take care of and protect your partner when that is necessary. And also, it's an ongoing experiment. What worked 6 weeks ago might not work today, and you gotta learn new skills all the time. So there's that. Ben had said in the live chat, like, the thing that yes is completely true: when you're going through hell, keep going.
Yep.
And that is true.
Because you're going to come out the other side at one point or another.
Eventually. Yep. Eventually. Not the only permanence is that everything changes.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, so the thing that is awful, awful, awful right now will shift in some way sooner or later. And will be less awful, or will be a new awful, or won't be awful at all. You never know. So that is our episode. I'm going to do my quick Patreon shout out to Lorana J, Conduit of Queerness Itself. I love that. Laura and James, Bella Pink Baby Girl, and CDC. So we are so happy to have y'all at that level of
thank you.
Patronhood? Patreonhood?
Patronage.
Patron. Jeez, and I'm the writer. Terrifying. And a reminder, join us on Patreon, patreon.com/KaylaLords. You'll help support the work we do. You'll get extra content. We're doing a patron only giveaway once we hit 100 patrons. I do like sitting at the 69 level. Also laying in 69, standing for whatever we gotta do with 69. But I also like growth. I like growth too. Oh, I'm saying a lot, aren't I? Woo! So yeah, join us there. If you are watching on YouTube, if you would give this a thumbs up, that helps in the algorithm things. And if we have not terrified you and you have not already subscribed, please subscribe.
Hit the little bell.
And the little bell. What I love, podcast listeners, you cannot hear this, but our fingers both go into like a pointy thing when we say hit the little bell. We've been watching too many YouTube videos, because they all do that. Hit the little bell, and it's this little finger doolally thing.
Finger bob.
Oh, and because I'm all about the transparency and I like to keep a sense of humor about shit, we said, last week that we're finally kind of semi-monetizable here on YouTube?
Yes.
As of yesterday when I checked, we'd made 22 whole cents. Oh yeah, we're getting that bank. Oh yeah, we're making that money. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, we're making it rain up in here. And if they were pennies, we would hurt ourselves.
Yeah.
y'all, money's what makes the world go round, so I'm not going to pretend it's not out there. I'm making myself get more comfortable talking about money, which is
helps keep these big bright lights on.
Yes, that are reflected in our glasses, if you're watching on YouTube. Okay, so we are going to do bonus section.
Are we good?
I'm not going to let other people decide that.
It's always debatable.
It is.
All right, baby girl.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
And we'll see you next week. Can I talk to the crickets, daddy? Can I talk to the crickets, daddy? Can I talk to the crickets?
I get the impression that you want to talk to crickets.
Please. Yes, daddy.
See? Okay. That's all you had to do.
I was doing it.
Go ahead, baby girl.
I was doing it. Y'all all heard and or saw me doing it. Oh, wait. And then that brought a song to mind. And I won't sing because I only lightly sing.
No,
but there was a doing
hard
it
limit.
And doing it and doing it. Yeah, there's a hard song.
Limit.
Some of y'all will know that little reference.
Oh, look who's here. Little Savannah. We miss you guys too.
Hello. So, sorry, I blanked out. So
yeah, you did.
Podcast watchers, that's not a thing. That's an oxymoron. Oh my God. Podcast listeners, John Brownstone is looking at the comment section on YouTube.
Yes.
Holding his iPad, and I'm looking down like, what? Yeah, sorry, y'all. Okay, we've gone so far off the fucking rails. Yeah. Sometimes I go, why does anybody stick around with us? And then I figure, well, it's because most people have more dignity and sense than to let all this crazy out. And we're good for a laugh or two. So what's going on? We have, today is a day of recording. Like, okay, so podcast listeners, we're recording on Wednesday. You won't even get to hear this until Friday. YouTube watchers, Wednesday. I had a Skype call this morning with my other Patreon account that I have for the Smut Lancers. That's if you want to create content and make money doing it. Be a Smut Lancer. It's a word I made up. There you go. We do one-on-one Skype sessions at certain patron levels over there. And I had that this morning, and that was great. That was somebody who was like, no, really, I want your advice. Go for it. And I was like, oh, I feel so good right now. Thank you. this makes me so happy. I got the giveaway ready and scheduled. So that's all done. And then I'm so excited about that giveaway. I cannot wait to show y'all this fucking battle. It's so gorgeous. it's so gorgeous. And then I'm excited about the Hot Octopus toy because I said to them, I said, you know, since these two products are approximately the same price, can we give people a choice? That way, no matter what your genitals are, you can enter and feel like you're going to potentially get a thing you'd like to try. Right. And then, of course, Kinky Cloth with the t-shirts. I'm all about the t-shirts. And I know podcast listeners, you're like, who gives a fuck about the t-shirts? Well, it's like our new thing now.
Yeah,
it's kind of our new thing. And I really enjoy it. We actually have a section in our closet devoted just to the t-shirts. Had to hang them because they were like all floppy if you just folded them. And we had no room in our dresser drawers anymore for every other t-shirt we have or any other article of clothing. So it's like, let me make a section of the closet for our shirts. And I hung them all up, and my section is here, and his section of t-shirts. And we actually have to go buy new hangers.
Now we need more hangers.
Because I used up every... We had, prior to the shipment that just came to us this week, we had, between us, 19 kinky shirts.
Yeah.
19 kinky shirts. With four more to be added, but I can't put them away. One, we're about to do a video on them. And two, because we don't have any more hangers.
No.
I have to buy hangers for my kinky t-shirts that only get worn for like a couple of hours a week. Like, I mean, if we went to like a kink thing, we would wear it.
I was going to say, I wore one this weekend.
Right. And you washed it, but
yeah,
I only wash them. I probably have makeup and coffee on this, but, but yeah, that's like our new thing now. And so it's filling up our, what am I trying to call it? It's filling up our closet.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. Okay. I think, we got a spam email that's trying to hack us pretending to be YouTube.
Oh.
Yeah, look at that email. @mail.ru. I'm not responding to that damn email or clicking anything.
Nope.
That was spam.
Yes, it is.
Oh, here comes another one.
Spam.
Okay, it's fine. That doesn't even look like the YouTube. Okay, so poor podcast listeners and live stream viewers. I'm talking. We have the laptop in front of us because that's where I keep my notes while we're doing the episode and where we can watch the video and try and watch a little bit of the live chat. So it's right in front of us and with the camera in front of us too. And so an email came up and it said YT support. And I'm like, that's YouTube. What the fuck? What the fuck? So while we're talking, I'm opening it up and it is clear phishing expedition and spam. Like, they didn't even try to do it well.
No.
Like, everything is misspelled. The, you know, the blah, 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 @, yada, yada, whatever. The @ is mail.ru. Yeah, Russian hackers. I'm not clicking or replying to nothing. oh, my God. I do still have these moments where I go, at what point will everybody realize that we have lost our mind and just go, these people are too crazy for me, I'm outie.
Yeah, we're good at that.
So you had a fun weekend.
I had a very fun weekend. I went to the Orlando Munch.
Yes, and you got to meet somebody that we've only gotten to talk to online.
Yes.
That sounded awesome.
And it was great to see her in person, and I got a hug from her.
That would be Ignixia.
Ignixia, yeah.
Who we have bought t-shirts from before.
Mm-hmm. And the Munch was fantastic. Had a really good time there. It's big. The Orlando Munch is big.
That's what I'd heard.
Yep.
How many people do you estimate were there?
Because
I've heard it can get up to like 70 plus people.
I don't think there was quite that many,
okay.
But probably good 25, maybe 30 people.
Oh, wow. Maybe just had a high RSVP list. Either way.
And yeah, but there was a lot of people there, but a really, really good group, welcoming group. Enjoyed it a lot. After that, went to the Woodshed, and they had a whipmaster doing a presentation there, which was just absolutely awesome. Really good guy. Did a fantastic presentation. Talked about all the different whips and how to use them, why some of them work for kink, why some don't.
And did a demo so you got to see them, right?
Oh, did lots of demos with them. Showed different techniques for throwing whips, and just a really good time.
Wow. And then you went to the
and
actual
then, and then
dungeon.
Stayed and for when they opened for playtime, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was at home, being a mom, also having neck pain.
Yeah.
I'm still not 100% sure. Is this a flare-up? Is this muscle? Is this nerve pain? Is this from 2 years ago? I don't know. So, yeah, you went out and had an adventure.
I did.
And I stayed home,
which
was okay.
Yep.
I would not have been good company with the way I was feeling. I couldn't have sat in the car.
No.
Well, we couldn't have played with my neck. So, yeah, and then you were gone a whole 24 hours. You stayed out overnight.
I stayed out overnight.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not used to that shit. I mean, in theory, I'm okay with it, and I was mostly okay with it until it was time to go to bed, and I put off going to bed for a very long time. I was like, I don't want to go to bed without him. I don't like it. So I slept on your pillow on your side of the bed. Now, so y'all know how this particular brain operates, and you can laugh hysterically if you'd like, or roll your eyes. I'm good with either. So we very much so have our defined sides of the bed. We have our nightstands. Our whole bedroom life is set up with whose side is what on, where are things located in proximity to that. I was struggling because he was not there. And so I was like, I'm going to sleep on his pillow. His pillow, we've got to replace mine anyway. His pillow's better on my neck. but also, it's his pillow. And I slept on his side of the bed. But while I'm laying on his side of the bed, because of where my nightstand is and my dresser is and where I plug in my phone, I'm like, wow, my phone's much further away. If he calls or if anybody calls and there's an emergency, it'll take me longer, air quotes around that word, y'all. It's just a queen size bed, okay? It's not a king or a California king. It's a queen size bed, and I was worried about it taking longer to get to my phone. So first of all, I had that thought that it would take longer to get to my phone and be more difficult somehow to get to my phone because I was on a different side of the bed. But also, I did not purposely just put his pillow on my side of the bed. I was like, no, I want to sleep on his side of the bed because I could. He wasn't there. And also, that's where he sleeps. And so, like, I guess I was laying in the phantom of his essence or something. I don't know what that was. But I legit was like, oh no, I'm going to have to roll over like two whole times to get out of the bed to get to the phone if it rings. That seems like so far away.
You are too funny.
Oh, I'm something. But also, anybody who has ever tried or successfully, like I did, slept on the side of the bed you don't usually sleep on the side of, you know that's like being on a different like planet. It's like being in a different country. Like nothing is in the right spot. One side of you is now not on the bed and one side of you is, and you have to roll differently. Like I sleep on, okay, if we're in the bed, I'm the right angle. I'm on the right side of the bed. So I know not to roll to the right because I'll fall out of the fucking bed. But sleeping on the left side of the bed, my brain is like, oh, you can roll to the left. No, you can't because you will roll out of the bed. So I had to like, if I wanted to roll, I didn't roll. I'm a stomach sleeper, even though it's really bad for my neck. And I have been reminded of that for several days now. I am a stomach sleeper. It is my comfort thing. I like to sleep on my stomach. And I slept on my back that night with the pillow, like, under my neck, perfect. Like, so it was nice and supported, but also because I was terrified to roll over. So I just laid in one position and stayed there the whole night. And this is why you can't leave me alone.
Oh, boy.
So, this is... Now you know more about me and my crazy than you ever wanted to know, quite frankly. Do we have a munch this weekend? Is our Ocala munch the first Sunday? We have a munch this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This weekend is, like, already flying by, and we hadn't even gotten to it yet.
And there was there's one question. I'm going to let you defer to answer this.
In
Katie,
the YouTube? Okay.
In the YouTube.
Katie, where do I buy John's stuff? Oh, let me help you. Let me tell you. Put my commercial hat on now. Kinky stuff, you go to shop.kaylalords.com. If I don't have it in the video description, I will get it there. And then if you want vanilla stuff, so like pins and bowls and all kinds of stuff.
Pens, bowls, bottle openers, keychains.
Right, all kinds
shaving
of stuff.
Shaving sets.
Yep. There you go to thewooddom.com. All one word. I named his business and his site, so of course it was The Wood Dom. And no, that's not where the kinky things are. But it is a good tell that you figure out people... Because you were at a store... And you told the dude to send it to thewooddom.com.
Yes.
And he went, Dom, huh? D-O-M, Dom?
Yes.
That's a good name. And I was like, that's a signal. That's a signal. If they know what Dom means, they approve. That's how we find our kinky people. But it's not the kinky site. The kinky site is shop.kaylalords.com. The vanilla site is thewooddom.com.
Yes.
So that's where you find the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the paddles, I was at the site today, they're very light. None of your basic paddles are there. Like, you're out of basic paddles.
I know.
We need to make some paddles.
Well, we're going to be talking about all that in the
Patreon only. Right. Yeah, we've got some stuff to talk about. But yeah. So there will be more paddles, but the paddle, the best part, the paddle for the giveaway, nobody's ever seen before. He's never made one like it. He's never made one with this wood. It is completely unique. Whoever wins it will have a paddle that nobody else will ever have. That's all I'm saying. Giveaway opens August 1st.
Well, I don't know if it's that unique, but...
It's unique.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Just saying.
Okay.
The only other thing, we have to do the parent thing this weekend. So in Florida, I told another Floridian this today, so if any Florida listeners are out there, if you have kids, and even if you don't have kids, if you, like, need some stuff. In Florida, August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, this weekend, mm-hmm. Friday through Sunday, is tax-free holiday for school supplies and whatever.
Yes.
So, of course, school supplies are tax-free. Laptops and computers up to a certain dollar amount, I don't know how much, but... Like, not crazy expensive, mm-hmm. but like your middle of the road. Those are tax-free. Clothes up to a certain value and shoes are tax-free. Also, backpacks, handbags. So if you're in Florida and you're like, shit, I need some new jeans, even if you don't have kids, I'm just saying, you need to go shop this weekend because you're not going to have to pay sales tax on it.
Yep.
That is when we are buying all of the school supplies for these two children and the new school clothes and all the shoes and the backpacks and the lunchboxes.
And the pencils and pens
and the hoodies,
paper and hoodies. Yeah.
Which I find hilarious. We were in Florida and they're like, no, I need a hoodie. I need a new hoodie. I'm going to get a new hoodie, right?
Well, they will want one come wintertime.
This will be their first winter in many years where they have to have a real winter jacket
because
it'll actually get cold here.
Yes.
So... Yeah, if you are a Floridian or if you are close to the Florida border and can get over into Florida easily,
mm-hmm.
If your state doesn't have one, and I'm sure other states do because Florida's not like the only one that does this, but tax-free weekend, August 2nd through 4th, just saying. Even if you don't have kids and you're not buying school supplies, you need some pens, you want to save 7%, mm-hmm. okay, go get them this weekend, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's my service message of the...
Hello again, Flaming Spirit. And Jamie's going to a kinky class on the 4th. That should be fun.
Y'all, I love the chat section of the YouTube videos. I wish podcasts had something similar.
I know.
That would be so cool if, like, you could listen to a podcast and then you could, like, talk amongst yourselves or to us as you're listening. Some people do it with Twitter, which is when I'm reminded of things I've said that I forgot I said. I'm like, I said that? Oh, and that was brilliant? Oh, wow. Yeah. Who knew? Who knew? Also, sometimes I make a joke and I'm like, oh, I don't remember making that joke, but anyway, somebody found it funny. So live tweeting definitely is an option, but I do wish podcasts had that same kind of thing. But as a podcast listener myself, I also like the solitary nature of podcast listening. Like I can be driving, I can be whatevering. I actually like to do my cross stitch and listen to podcasts. And I'm just like in the zone with me and that person's voice in my ear. I am so sorry to those of y'all who's, I'm the voice in your ear right now. So I get why it's not a group activity. But.
Yeah. And Eva, yeah, you're right. It will be crazy people-y. That's why we're
during tax-free weekend. Yes.
That's why we're going on Friday. That's why we're going on Friday. Yes. Hopefully it will be a little less people-y than Saturday and Sunday.
Yes. Yes. And if a store allows you to do the buy online, pick up in store thing.
Uh-huh. We're down for that too.
Oh yeah. I know. This is the year. So the oldest is not only in high school, but this is the first year both kids don't have a school uniform. And the oldest is in men's sizes now. So there's no like $5 jeans for him anymore. Like, and he's right on the cusp of, he could do kid sizes, except they're too short in his legs. So he's got to do men's sizes where we can like get the inseam size we want. But it's such a random size. There's only like two stores we can go to and find jeans for him without having to shop online. Not that I'm opposed to shopping online. And I will if I need to. But yeah, it's like this is the first back to school season that's a little nuts for us.
Yeah.
But I don't have to worry about getting school patches sewn on uniform shirts this year. And that is a lovely thing.
Yeah.
So the mom side of me is very happy. Also, we're going shopping, and I don't know. It's not just a baby girl thing, because not everybody's a baby girl who likes to shop, and not all baby girls like to shop. But this baby girl loves to shop when I'm like prepared for it and I'm ready for it. And we have been telling ourselves there's things we want to do personally that we want to buy, and we won't do anything till we get through back to school.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, the first leg of back to school is happening. We're going to do all this spending and get this stuff.
Yes.
And then we can talk about the things we want.
Yep.
Right. Which are not major things. Like,
no.
I have a subscriptions thing to Adore Me, which is a lingerie store. They have an online, and they have a few stores up north, like five or six actual physical stores are mostly online, but it's a subscription service. And I can skip months, which I have to do in August because I'm focusing on back to school stuff, not my lingerie habit. But I'm like, but in September, because we won't be doing back to school anymore, I could buy pretty underwear. And I'm very excited. Excited. And I know every part of the country and every part of the world is a little bit different when school starts. Our kids go back to school on August 12th.
Yes.
So if you happen to live in a part of the world that goes back after, like in the States, you go back after Labor Day, or you go back later when it cools down a little bit, must be nice. August 12th, these kids are gone. Also, I'm very excited. I'll be taking part of that day off. So, okay, clearly. Jamie asked where we got these particular shirts we're wearing in this today's recording, and these are from Kinky Cloth.
Yes.
And we have a special link. We won't include it in this description because we have a sponsor and that wouldn't be cool. But we will put it in like the show notes. That'll be on our website on Friday.
Yep.
But it's kinkycloth.com, and if you use code KINKYKAYLA, you get 25% off. But we're about to record a video. Like when we turn off the camera for this and the audio for this recording, we're about to record a Kinky Cloth unboxing video. They sent us some stuff. So we'll have all the links and all the stuff there too.
Cool
so
stuff.
You can see more of their stuff and decide for yourself if you're interested or not. So yeah, I could keep going, but we're going to have to take my mic away from me.
Yes.
It's clear. I love you guys and I love talking to you.
It's been great spending time with y'all.
It's been really good for my energy. My energy levels are a little low.
Yeah.
But today's a good day of recording and talking and
Being
fully.
It was a good day. I was feeling a little low energy too. Started out, I was kind of tired. Spent a good part of my morning hot and sweaty, but kind of lifted me up being here.
Yeah. So okay, we are gonna go. We have a Patreon podcast to record. We have a YouTube video to record. I think I have some other stuff to do.
Yeah.
Oh god, and eventually we'll have to like be parents and.
I know.
Make dinner
and
stuff.
And I'll have to do dinner and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd rather be this. I'd rather be kinky me. Can I do that?
Okay.
We love you guys.
All right. We love you guys.
We will see
Thank you
next
so much.
Time. Thank you for joining us. Podcast, YouTube, doesn't matter. We love you all.